in much need of the help of God, by and through the Holy Spirit. I venture now to direct your thoughts and attention to the word which is found in the portion that we have read together, the Gospel according to John, chapter 1 and verse 14. John chapter 1 and verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Perhaps this text, this word, may be more associated with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ rather than being felt to relate more to his death. And yet I have to venture with this word and trust that the Lord has laid it upon me. There is then here a great deep, such a great deep, dear friends, that we will never fathom with our earthly reason or wisdom. And in those opening words of this verse, and the Word was made flesh. What a sacred mystery this is. A sacred mystery indeed, that the Lord Jesus Christ should be born of a woman and made under the law, and that he by the grace of God should taste death for every one of his dear people. And dear friends, in this is the only hope we have of salvation. There is no other way that God could pardon sin. Oh, dear friends, the love of the sacred Trinity is so manifest in this glorious a truth. God the Father, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Word was made flesh. Of course, the Word here with a capital W signifies the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, and that hence the greatness of this mystery. And I just mention that word in the epistle of Paul to Timothy. I remember when I was younger, wrestling, as it were, with that word and finding it so difficult to fully understand, and I believe it is still misunderstood, but I trust the Lord has shed some light. Now the word I am thinking of is this: and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And dear friends, that is what it means, as we might so simply take the words, great is the mystery of godliness. And I, as I trust the Lord now shows me, is there is no controversy over the greatness of the mystery. That is, I believe, the truth that the Lord conveys in those words. Solemnly, there will be a controversy amongst man as to the nature of this great salvation. Fallen nature cannot begin to enter into or to desire savingly, cannot begin to enter into the sacred truths. But a mystery it is, and without controversy, great is the mystery. And dear friends, if we are left, as some are, and one cannot really throw stones at others, there's the same tendency within at times, we try to unravel this mystery. So human nature will, left to itself. But dear friends, the word declares it is a great mystery. And dear friends, none can argue with that. I believe that is the import of that word. None can argue that great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. So, dear friends, what a deep, and I tremble to venture with the word, but, notwithstanding limitations of a poor sinful creature, may the Lord convey to you and to me the wonders of this truth. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Dear friends, just for a moment, I remind you, as I have been reminded, of the prayer of Solomon at the dedication of the temple. And Solomon said, "And shall God indeed dwell with man? Behold, even the heaven of heavens cannot contain him, how much less this house that I have built." Now there is a view of a poor sinner of the majesty and the greatness and the glory of God. But dear friends, if that was all the perception of God that we had in the Word, where would our souls be, dear friends? And Solomon knew that too. Oh, the Lord dealt so solemnly with Solomon, but we believe and are assured through the Word of God he was an heir of glory. Now that way that God indeed should dwell with men was because the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Think of it, dear friends. The Lord of life and glory left those realms above and came down to this sin-stricken earth to live, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We esteemed him not. And we have read in this very chapter, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But dear friends, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, even Jesus Christ, the friend of sinners. Oh, how they spoke of him. And the Pharisees in their derision said, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." But dear friend, oh, have you cause to bless God that this dear man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ, came to be a guest with sinners? Oh, dear friends, Behold, he says in the Revelation, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Dear friends, have we not some evidence and witness in our hearts, in yours and mine, that this dear Saviour has indeed come and dwelt among us? As we have gathered from time to time in the Lord's house, we have surely to acknowledge that we have felt him to be present with us. For thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which, being interpreted, is God with us. So the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And, dear friends, what a wonder that the Lord Jesus Christ should so condescend to abide with poor sinners. Yet this is indeed the very way that he has made, that he has brought, that sinners might be reconciled to God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now the next few words are in the brackets, as it were, and here we have more of a personal testimony of the Apostle John. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. For John, writing this epistle, was indeed one who beheld the Lord Jesus Christ in the flesh. He was one of the eyewitnesses, as I believe Peter describes it, of his majesty. And we beheld his glory. Yes, they did, those favoured three on the Mount of Transfiguration. And we beheld his glory. And I believe that there was not only at that time, but in other ways, the Lord Jesus did reveal a glimpse here and there, while he was upon earth, of his glory. But again, dear friends, how is it with us? Has the Lord granted to us, poor wretched sinners though we are, just a little glimpse here and there of his glory? Why did the hymn writer write those lines? The more his glory strikes our eye, the humbler we shall lie. And we beheld his glory. Oh, dear friends, but I believe poor sinners have something more that they have beheld, more than angels have beheld. The angels continually behold the glory of God, of Jesus Christ. They continually behold his glory and they veil their faces. But wretched sinful man, oh dear friends, through this very truth, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Lord Jesus Christ suffered in the sinner's place. He shed his own heart's blood. He laid down his life that his dear people might be saved from everlasting punishment. Oh, dear friends, have we been granted then a little glimpse of the Saviour suffering in our room and place and stead? The Word of God says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. Now, dear friends, what a glory there is. A glory to behold for sinners. Oh, what a scene of wonder. 'Tis Jesus in the sinner's place, and we beheld his glory. But then, here the description is given full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. And dear friends, this is speaks of the Lord Jesus. So if we read the verse without that which is in the brackets, we have this sense, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And dear friends, you see what simple and yet what profound a declaration is given here. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Perhaps in another way one might put it like this: though he came down from heaven to earth, he was no less the eternal Son of God, full of grace and truth. And dear friends, that is a wonder, that he should come with all that was attendant in his birth, in his life, and in his death. Yet he was full of grace and truth. And dear friends, without this grace and without this truth that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought down for his dear people, there would be no hope for any of us. And there are so many testimonies to the abundance of the grace of God. And there is that which the apostle witnessed to, that where he proved it, sin abounded. Grace did much more abound. Oh, dear friends, how would poor sinners ever have obtained this grace unless the Lord Jesus had not been made manifest in the flesh and dwelt among us? He left those heavenly realms and came down, yet he was still all the fullness of the Godhead in him, and we cannot begin to comprehend it. But dear friends, he revealed himself only that as his dear people could bear it, and still he makes himself known through the lattice of his Word, and he bestows more grace. Is that what you feel to need, dear friends, this afternoon? And all the sweet, blessed Word, he giveth more grace. You haven't any in yourself, have you? You have no stock. If you and I think we've got a stock of grace, dear friends, within, it's not grace. We do not possess it by nature. But we continually need that fresh supply. And oh, bless his name, he giveth more grace. Full of grace. Oh, friends, a store, a fullness that will never be ye emptied. O full of grace and truth. And oh, what a wonder is the truth that is in the Lord Jesus. A truth that is beyond what we would normally think of or usually think of naturally. It is surely agreed, I feel, we would say, that amongst fallen mankind, people like to have the truth. They do not want to be told a whole string of lies, yet there are those in our land and in the world who are bent on always or often speaking deceitful things. So man himself likes to have the truth. But dear friends, a poor sinner, deserving endless ruin, held captive in those slavish chains. Why? The truth as it is in Jesus, and the truth as it is in Jesus shall make you free. The truth shall make you free. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Oh, I do like that prayer in the psalm. Oh, send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me and let them bring me unto thy holy hill. Dear friends, we so need the truth. Oh, we do. And dear friends, I would say it with great reverence, this is no accident that these two words are joined together here. Grace and truth. And they are repeated again in that 17th verse. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. There, dear friends, it sets the gospel in its true light. The great contrast between the gospel and God's holy law. What a contrast. And yet, dear friends, the holy law of God was honoured and fulfilled by the life and death of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the grace and truth that were in him might indeed be imparted to his dear people, so that everyone in that everlasting covenant ordered in all things and sure might know that sovereign grace or sin abounding. Oh, dear friends, and the truth as it is in Jesus, that there is one who is the altogether lovely one. My beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Truth in the Lord Jesus Christ, the perfection of truth, and that truth which sets free from all darkness, all sin, all error, all chains of Satan, and sets a poor sinner at liberty. So then, here we have a few thoughts, but in coming towards a close, oh dear friends, there is perhaps this which now I need help to bring forth, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Here is the Lord Jesus Christ in all that he was made, in the nature of his people, yet without sin, and in his sacred humanity, he came to die. Dear friends, he came to die. Oh, the wonders of his love to poor sinners, to hell-deserving sinners. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And there are deeps here, friends, that are beyond my powers to unfold. But in the time that Jesus was here, he spoke to those Jews at one time in that language which is very hard for us to understand naturally. But, dear friends, think of what he said in his word to his dear people. And this is what he was saying to them. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Oh, if there's ever a word to tremble under, friends, well, that has been a word that I have trembled under. And, dear friends, you see, it flows from the truth in the text, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. Now, dear friends, Jesus himself says, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now, dear friends, that does not mean that if we do not partake of the emblems that are before us on the Lord's table, we have no life. It does not mean that. It will be well if the Lord Jesus brings us to seek to remember him. But his flesh and his blood, why, it is contained, as it were, in the Word of God. And dear friends, oh, how the dear prophet said, Thy word was found, and I did eat it, and it was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. So then, the Word was made flesh, that poor sinners might be made partakers, that they might through his life and death receive that everlasting life, eternal life. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, friends, what a blessed wonder of the gospel is here contained. And those lines of one of the hymns just come, but not clearly to mind. But the language of his dying breath, see how living faith holds it fast. And oh, dear friends, the words that Jesus spoke, especially when he was upon the cross, what words of eternal wonder and salvation they are. And when he cried out, it is finished. It is finished. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory that he had finished the work that his Holy Father gave him to do. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Oh, dear friends, those words of Jesus, may it be our favoured portion to hear his voice. Amen.